Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast. It's Bill, Alan, and Dennis is muted, which is the best thing I've heard in about, I don't know, a month or so.
Well, I was, but not now.
Damn it. And, oh, speaking of damn it, look at that. We have Brandon Fields from the Brandon Fields Experience sporting one of our friends' merchandise there. Mr. Todd Kearns, he's got a damn it shirt on for those of you that are not watching the video. But, yeah, so how you doing, Brandon?
Doing awesome. I appreciate you guys having me on here tonight.
Cool, man. So you've got a new album coming out in the fall. You released had a press release for that, yesterday?
Yep, the whole thing got announced yesterday, and man, it was just such a load off my chest to finally be able to tell everybody about it. It's been so hard keeping it a secret while we've been doing it.
Cool. Well, you've got some pretty shabby players on there. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so we got Todd Kearns, Mr. Todd Dammit Kearns from Slash, Future Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators, and Age of Electric, Sin City Sinners, Original Sin. Hell, he's in a lot of awesome bands, and they all kick ass. And you got Mr. Jeremy Asbrock and Matt Starr from the Ace Frehley band, rounding the lineup off. So, man, it's a killer band that got put together for this album, and I can't wait for everybody to hear it.
Cool, man. We've seen Matt. I've seen Matt a couple of times with Ace, and we've seen Jeremy. I don't know, quite a few times.
Well, Jeremy,
with either him or the Rock and Roll Residency or Ace, yeah, or, you know, at Rock and Pod Expos we've done or whatever. And, they're all really cool guys. They're
man,
great guys.
Yeah, that's one thing. They're great musicians, but they're also just awesome people just to work with. So it makes the whole process really easy.
So how did you get connected with those guys?
So when I was about 13 years old, I went and watched Jeremy's band that he was in called The Shazam. And this was when I was living in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And they had put an ad in the paper that they were playing at the local civic center. So me and my buddy that I play music with decided to go down there. And we walk up to the stage. Like, this is during load-in and, like, sound check that time. Excuse me. And so there's not that many people there. And the singer's kind of noticing us. And we're 13, long hair, look like scoundrels, like we're up to no good. And the singer was kind of like, hey, watch the gear, because he was about to go somewhere. And as soon as Jeremy heard him say that, he walked over to me and my buddy and was like, hey, you guys want to come play my guitars? And, like, invited us up on stage during sound check to just, like, play his gear. And, it wasn't, like, cheap gear either. Like, he was using a Gibson RD, which is a pretty rare guitar. He's just letting us play it. And, dude, it's literally just been me and him keeping in touch since I was, like, 13 years old. I started going and watching him when he started playing with Ace. And so we kind of reconnected a little. And so when I started cutting the demos for this album, I had taken a guitar lesson from Jeremy when the quarantine just started. And he had showed me this cool little lick during the lesson, and so I kind of implemented that in one of my guitar solos when I was cutting the demos. And so I sent him a clip of it, and I was like, hey man, there's that lick that you taught me at the end of that solo, because I wanted him to know that I was actually using what he took the time to teach me. And then we started talking for a minute or two, and then I jokingly was just like, yeah, what's it going to take to get you to play a solo on this record? And I was going to take it whichever way it came, what he said. And he was just like, yeah, man, I'd be down for that. And I asked him, I was like, after a little, it was like a day or two went by. I was like, hey, do you think it'd be worth reaching out to Matt Starr? Do you think he'd be interested in playing the song on this album? I was like, I know he does session work, but maybe not for people like me who aren't like widely known that much. And he was like, yeah, dude, go for it. And so I got a hold of Matt and we ended up working it out to where he was going to be on a song. And then Todd was completely unrelated. Just because the original plan I had for this album, I was going to have a bunch of different guests on every track. And Todd was one of the people that I had on the list that I wanted to reach out to. So I ended up emailing his people. And I told Matt and Jeremy, I was like, hey, just letting y'all know, I reached out to Todd Kearns. Maybe he'll end up playing on the record. Not connecting all the dots that they were buddies and that they were all on the Kiss cruise all the time, because Todd's in Bruce Kulick's band and then they're with Gene and Ace. So they ended up texting him and talking to him about the project. And the funny thing is, when I originally reached out to all these guys, it was just for like a guest appearance on like one track. And then we just had such a good time working on those songs together that it turned into the four of us playing on the whole record.
That sounds like a horrible experience.
And they're such horrible people to work with too, you know?
Wow, man, that's pretty cool, dude.
That is cool.
That is cool.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, so me and Jeremy have known each other for 11 years now, but I mean, obviously I was a kid when he met me and we've never worked together playing music or anything like that. So yeah, it's just an awesome experience right now going through all this.
So being that you're in Louisville or Lexington, sorry. And Jeremy is in, you know, he's in Nashville. Of course, Todd's in Canada, and I don't know where Mark.
Todd's actually in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's in Vegas. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but he's from Canada, but he is in Vegas. When we talked to him, he was.
Matt Starr is out in Los Angeles.
So I'm taking it you did all where you basically just sent your parts back and forth and.
Yeah, thankfully with technology nowadays, it's real easy to cut a record when you're in different parts of the world. So.
Sure.
And us being pretty good caliber musicians, it made it go a lot quicker than within some albums do doing that. So it was a really smooth process throughout all of it.
So tell me how that worked. Cause I've always wanted, I mean, I know that's going on all the time now, but is it just that, you know, you guys kind of talk about the concept of what you're trying to get to and then everybody kind of just adds their part, or is there really production meetings, or how does that work? Cause I've always wondered how that whole process works with everybody just mailing stuff in, basically.
Despite what the name might suggest, we all have songwriting credits as far as me, Jeremy, and Todd. And then Matt's obviously in control of what he does drum-wise. But, I mean, we all had inputs creatively, so it wasn't just me doing a load of the work. But, I mean, musically, as far as the actual instrumentation goes, I wrote a lot of that, and I had a lot of that demoed out before I started reaching out to people. Now, all the vocals, any of the songs that whoever's singing, we all wrote our own lyrics and the melodies and stuff like that. And then there was actually one of the tracks on there. I just wrote the riff for it and sent it to Jeremy, and he wrote a whole song out of it. So, I mean, that's one of the songs that he wrote most of the music for. So it was a lot more of like a band experience than the name might suggest.
Cool. So what kind of music is it? Is it typical stuff that they're doing? Is that what we should be looking for?
70s rock, just hard rock and roll. Just if you like classic rock, you'll like this record. It's just some good rock and roll, man.
Any sneak peek stuff?
No. Now we're gonna announce when we get closer to August, we'll announce the actual date that we're releasing the first single. But the first single will be out the first week or two of August.
Okay. So who all sang on the record? Was it all of you, or did Todd do most of it? Or
Matt doesn't sing on it. So Todd sings three tracks. I sing three tracks. Jeremy sings one track. And then there's actually a track that has guest appearances from Alex Kane from Enough is Enough. And Eric Jack from Wild Street is actually singing the vocals on that tune. So got a little wide variety on it. So not one person singing the whole thing, but then it's still not to where there's a different one on every track. So, I mean, some stability, but enough to keep your ears fresh throughout the whole thing.
Cool.
That is cool. So are you going to go, is this going to be just basically a digital download, or are you going to be actually putting CDs and albums?
The plan is to do CDs and vinyl. At the moment, the plan, I'm releasing it independently at the moment. Now, we are in discussions with some people, which I can't really get into at the moment. And because who knows, nowadays, it's the whole format of releasing a record is so different than what it used to be. So it really depends on what you're trying to do with each record. You might not need a label per se to help you distribute it. So, but obviously with the guys we got playing on this record, quite a few people were catching the ear of it. So might need a little help getting it out there to everybody, but we'll see. But we're definitely talking with some people about helping distribute it. And if not, it'll be independent.
You know, that's one thing we've brought up with a bunch of people, or basically everybody that comes on here, because we're, you know, we're curious too. You know, the record label, the record company thing is not, you know, it's non-existent anymore, you know, unless you're just a multi.
It's, know. Yeah, I mean, it still exists in some form, but
right.
The idea of when you're 18 years old, getting taken out, winding down by a record company and them throwing you $100,000 or something and signing you for 3-4 albums, those days don't really exist anymore because it's not really practical. It changes all the time. What works today might not work next week, so it's constantly changing and it takes a lot of adapting to, but it's still productive or it wouldn't exist in any fashion. So
Well, what it is, you know, the days of taking a young band and coddling them and helping them out to get to that point is gone. You know, a record company basically just comes in and swoops in after they've done it themselves, you know, spent all their own money and got themselves going and got, you know, and using social media to get themselves out there. And once they get noticed, then the record company goes, oh, you know, we can help you. It's like, well, where were you, you know, 2 years ago? You know, because like I said, it's a complete different business than it was in the 70s, you know, and it's just in the 80s. You know, it's just crazy.
Go ahead. I was going to bring up the same thing Dennis brought up, so I'll just add on to that. How do you feel about how the music industry has shifted?
Well, I mean, obviously, anything in the past is just anything I've read about. I didn't get to experience it, so not much firsthand knowledge. Now I can say my experience with how it is nowadays, and realistically, bands make all their money off of playing shows nowadays. So with the quarantine happening, it's a little rough, but luckily it's nice because you're getting a lot of different artists who are doing the same thing. They found out that this is a great time to go in and cut a record. So creatively, it's kind of got everybody working hard. So just hopefully everything will clear up to where we can get back out and playing some shows sometime soon to where it's safe for everybody.
I think this year is pretty well done.
We've got some stuff on the schedule. And I mean, it really just depends state by state. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, I mean, if it's booked and they say we can do it, we'll be there. So.
So what does your band look like then that you're going to be playing with?
This is going to be the lineup out on the road whenever we can actually make it work with the schedule.
That's cool.
Yeah, we've all expressed interest in doing some shows. Now, obviously, we all have pretty busy schedules outside of this. So it wouldn't be a situation where we were going out on the road for like doing 30, 40 dates or something like that. But we've definitely discussed the possibility of going out and doing like 9 or 10 shows, like in a short little run like that.
Cool. We definitely want to know about that.
Yeah, that'd be cool to see for sure.
Yeah.
You'll have to do something in Nashville. That's kind of like the law. So if it opens back up. So I just heard today that it's closing.
Yeah.
So they're closing.
Well, they were just doing a 2-week shutdown, which a lot of places are for the 4th of July because everybody's traveling right now. So I guess it's to kind of just get through the holidays and then they'll kind of see what the numbers look like, I assume. So who knows, man? That's we'll see what happens with all of that.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. We're doing staycation. We always do our July vacation, and this time around this year is staycation. We're just going to stay around.
Yep.
Because we took a vacation to California first week of February, like within the week, right before. Because actually we had heard about it. It was in Oregon at that time. We were in San Francisco going, you know, you hear somebody cough and you're like, yeah, okay, maybe it was just, you know. But it wasn't until a couple of weeks later then it really hit hard. So
yeah, I really didn't know much about it till it was right around the beginning of March, right before the shutdown. It was like, I'm always playing gigs and everything, so the finer details I'm kind of slip by sometimes. I was actually down in Georgia with Wrecking Crew March 13th and 14th. I was guitar teching with them, and the drummer from Whiskey A Go Go in my GNR tribute was filling in for him, so we went down there and down to Atlanta, and that was the 13th and 14th, and that was like right when San Francisco, around the time, put their big lockdown on. Right. So we're like down there in Atlanta, and we're like, shit, we have to travel back to Lexington and Detroit. So hopefully we can make it back home. But the gigs went great, and we all made it back home, and then everything was shut down. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of your GNR tribute, tell us a little bit about it.
It's only about a year old right now. We actually just got a brand new singer from Cleveland. So we saw him in a Skid Row tribute band, and we were like, well, we need a singer, and this guy kicks ass at singing Sebastian Bach, so let's see if he can sing some Axl Rose. So whenever this lockdown's over, we've got a brand new lineup to be showing people, and it's fucking great, man. You can see we got the Use Your Illusion banners that we put on stage. I keep them hung up in here. It keeps the wrinkles out of them when we're not gigging.
Cool. That's cool.
So you said that's been going on for about a year?
Yeah, we've had a couple different lineups before this. Now the four band members, like instrument players, have been the same, but we've went through a couple different singers up until we found this guy. But this guy's great, man, and our rehearsals, the rehearsals are so fun, so I can't imagine how much more fun it's going to be when we can finally get on stage with this guy and show everybody. So it's a lot of fun, and I've been obsessed with GNR since I was a kid, so it's such a – It's a good healthy output for my obsession with them.
so my million dollar question regarding the Guns N' Roses tribute is, do you do any Chinese Democracy material?
Yeah, our actually last run, we added in the title track. So the last shows we did were March 6th and March 7th. We played Knoxville and Lexington. And that was the first time we did Chinese Democracy in both of those sets. So we had it lined out to where, like, our first, like, seven songs were the same first seven songs on the Not in the Sloth Tom tour. And, like, we had the intro track to Chinese Democracy and everything. It was awesome.
That's cool.
And you've got to get that show to Nashville.
Yeah. Louisville.
Bring it to Louisville. We'll all get closer. It's closer. That's the middle.
No, yeah. It's kind of funny though. It's kind of funny that you have the Guns N' Roses tribute, and then like you've had issues with the singer. it just fits.
It's very ironic.
It is ironic.
I don't even want to get started.
No, I'm just joking. I mean, but I'm saying though, the things that you said, the constant is the musicians. It's the singer that.
It's like, damn, we're playing to like 1,000 people right now. Imagine how stressed you would be dealing with that with fucking 30,000.
You just have to get them on the same time zone. Yeah. that's the important thing, right?
Yeah, make sure they start at the right time.
At 9.
We're talking 7 o'clock.
2 a.m.
Central. Yeah, we all get home and get to bed.
Yeah, there you go. A little older now, right?
Yeah. Catching up.
Yeah, so we're from Indiana, so we're not far. Yeah. So I don't know if you realize that or not, but I'm only like an hour and 15 minutes from Louisville, so I'm in just south of Indianapolis, and the other guys are in Evansville area.
Evansville, yeah. So we're 2 hours.
Evansville. Yeah. So I used to work at Hooters, and Evansville was in our region. So we were a training store. So any managers that got trained, we'd have to train them and then send them to Evansville.
Well, incidentally, the first time Bill and I ever actually met face to face was at the Hooters in Evansville.
Not true.
Wow. Imagine that. You guys went to Hooters.
It was Bill's choice. I would have
It was my choice.
Wild Wings.
I mean, everybody loves boobies, but the food is good too.
Oh, they have food there, don't they?
Their food. Evansville, I tell you what, though, Evansville Hooters is the worst Hooters of all the Hooters I've ever. I used to travel a lot, so I would like Oklahoma City. I loved the ones that there. One Louisville's great. You know, Evansville, the food is just freaking horrible. Somebody says that they've got it better now, but I don't know.
There was for a minute we were sending quite a few people there, so I think the turnover rate was
it was not good. So I don't know. I've heard it, it's got better, but I'm just, you know what, it's just I got a wing place up near me. I live in Newburgh, so I can do
that. Oh yeah,
crazy.
Yeah,
so how long have you been playing then, Brandon? I mean, is it since high school or
when I was in I think first grade was when I got my first guitar. First or second grade, I was 7 years old, I think. So, and kind of kicked it around for a minute. And I'd say by fifth grade, I was playing every single day. So, it was young whenever I started.
So, what were you playing? What were your influences?
So, when I first got into guitar, the first riff I ever learned how to play was TNT. The first CD I ever went to a store and bought with my own money was AC/DC Live at Donington. And then it was like a week later, I went back and bought the DVD. And as soon as I saw that, them playing to like 100,000 people, I was just like, that's it. I was like, seeing Angus do the little strut that he does across the stage, I was just like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then I'd say right when fifth grade, when I got Appetite for Destruction, that kind of set it all off for me.
Cool.
Fifth grade, Appetite for Destruction.
Holy yeah. We're a little older.
I'm turning double nickels next week. Actually on Sunday, that's my birthday. So it's Sunday. It's like going,
Dad.
Yeah, it's like, I remember we were living in apartment, Rod and I, right before Kelly and I got married. I was living over at Woodbridge Apartments. They're on North Park. They're behind Schnucks. And we got the Appetite for Destruction. We had a CD player, and we had the Bose 301s, and we just play that thing just nonstop. I mean, all the time.
Nice.
And I'm a tad bit older, but still, like, you know, that was a great album. I mean, that was one of those, you know,
oh, yeah, that was
albums out of the gate that just like going, holy shit. I heard that.
It was game over.
That one came out my senior year in high school, so
nice.
You're closer.
Bill, you know, I will argue with anybody that will listen that, in my opinion, that is the greatest rock album that was ever recorded.
Yeah, I mean, that's my favorite one, hands down. So, I mean, I'm not shy about letting people know about how much I like GNR. So,
but that, you know what, though, that's one of those ones where you like, you're so glad that you did that. But once you did it, it's like going, fuck, now we got to do the next one. We're never going to be able to, you know, you just can't top that. I mean, they're always going to be looked up as, you know, that is the album that we got to make another Appetite. And they haven't done that, you know, still to this day. And they won't. I mean, it won't happen.
Appetite's on its own level. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the YouTube records. I think they're fucking great. So, sure. Appetite's definitely up on a pedestal.
Yeah. What are you listening to today? Anything new? Have you found anything new or?
Man, I'd say the newest band that I've gotten into is Dirty Honey. Those guys just fucking kick ass, man. Mark is just an awesome singer. I just love that guy's voice.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of songs. Somebody that popped up on somebody sent that to me or something, and I listened to a couple of songs. I liked that a lot.
What was it called?
Dirty Honey.
Dirty Honey.
Yeah, they're on Spotify because that's where I listen.
Yeah, well, that don't matter, man.
When I'm Gone with a big single that topped the Billboard charts.
Cool.
Yeah, who I'm trying to think who the hell sent that to me because it was actually it was somebody on my Facebook. Yeah, When I'm Gone, that's the big 6 million views. Rolling Sevens. Wow. Actually, the whole album is really good. I think it was Tyler Leslie.
Oh, yeah, really?
Posted it on
Tyson and, Leslie
or Tyson. What did we say? Tyler. I'm sorry, Tyson. Yeah, Tyson is the one that had posted. I think it was him. One of those guys had posted that album, and I listened to it. And I was like, "Well, that's some good shit." You know, unfortunately, we just don't have a lot of really great new stuff coming out.
I like Greta Van Fleet too. I think those guys are awesome.
Yeah, I just can't go there.
They used to be a Zeppelin tribute, so I mean,
right.
Of course, they're going to have that bred into them. So, I mean,
right. Actually, we had some people that we met at the last Rockin' Pod. They had a band called Kato. Is that right, Bill? Did I get it right?
Yeah, you did.
So Kato, they've got a new. They broke, and as soon as I start getting into them, the same thing happened with me with Marvelous Three. As soon as I start getting into a band, then they break up. I'm like, son of a bitch, you know. It's like, damn it, you're my one thing. So, but they have started a new band. Two of them started a new band, the lead singer and the bass player, called the Scent. And there's a new song out that they got an EP coming out, but they have a new song called Pop Star. And I'm digging that song hard. I like it a lot. It's got that Marvelous Three kind of sound to it. And nice. Yeah. So anyway, there's some beacons of light out in, you know, the whole shabam of all music, but not many.
It was kind of cool to find new stuff. That Kennedy record is really good too. The Carl Kennedy record.
Kennedy,
is,
yeah, that was
yeah, that's a really good record.
With Greta Van Fleet, it's really nice to see some young guys make it. Like, those kids are like 18. And when was the last time you heard a rock band like that get so much just mainstream press?
Right. It was good.
It's been a while.
Like most new rock bands sound, that real modern sound. So regardless of the discrepancies of sounding like Zeppelin, which, I mean, if I was going to sound like any band, Zeppelin's a pretty damn good one to sound like. and that's my thing. So take this for example. You guys obviously probably remember Kingdom Come.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just got that out.
Their big song was Let's Get It On. Or right. Fucking Marvin Gaye.
You're close, though.
Yeah. Sorry, long day. It was just Get It On, right? That was Kingdom Come. That was basically Black Dog.
Oh yeah.
So
of course.
But the thing with Greta Van Fleet is they just sound like Zeppelin. You can't really find any of their songs that are specifically ripping off a certain Zeppelin song. They just happen to sound like them. Unlike Kingdom Come, who was
right. No, actually, I have told the story. I was driving back from a gig one night, and this song, that first song that came out on the radio from them came out, and I was driving down the road, and I'm like going, the fuck is this Zeppelin song? I don't remember this. And honest to God, and I put, you know, I got my Shazammed out my phone on the thing, and I'm like going, Greta Van Fleet, who the fuck is this people? I mean, I honestly thought it was a Zeppelin song that I had never heard before. I mean, I was completely boo-fooed on that. I mean, I was like, holy shit. So,
Dennis,
yeah,
I thought you were going to say that you Shazammed Kingdom Come. I'm like, no, you didn't.
No.
That's what I thought you were saying, too. I'm like, I don't, man, your memory is bad.
No.
Being double nickels,
first song,
it's bad.
No. The first song that Greta Van Fleet came out with, I had heard it, and I'm like going, it's a familiar sound. I mean, it's on key. It could be another Led Zeppelin song. And I was like going, holy shit, you know. But we're hoping now, Brandon, that your album is going to be one of these albums that we're going to say, where did these guys come from? Fuck.
Yeah. I mean.
We want to hear this thing.
Yeah. It's man, it's so tough to just like when I start getting these mixes back to not just be like, hey, everybody, check this out, because you can't do that shit.
And yeah, once you share it, it's over.
Yeah.
So it makes it a little difficult, but dude, the tracks are great and these guys are killing it on these songs. So I couldn't ask for a better experience on my part.
Yeah.
Now I just set my shit up and keep up with them.
Yeah. Like I said, you got a band, you got a backing crew that is, you know, we've known, except for Matt, we've never talked to Matt, but we've talked to Todd and we've talked to Jeremy. And it's like, you know, those guys are, and we, you know, met both of those guys. Plus, we've never met Matt. Matt's the one guy we need to get on here one of these days. So we have not talked to him.
I got to meet him briefly backstage at the First Days concert that I went to.
Right.
And we had never spoke before. I was just standing there and was talking to Jeremy, and Jeremy had walked away for a minute, and I saw Matt standing over next to Ace's trailer with Philip Schaus, and I was like. And I had a pass on, and so I just walked over and I was like, hey, what's up, Matt? I was like, that was awesome. I was like, killed it during the show. And I wasn't over there like 6 seconds, and one of the security guards was like, hey, man, we need to move it along a little bit.
Yeah. No, and like I said, you mentioned Phil Schaus. All those guys, those Nashville crew, man, they're the nicest bunch of people and some of the best talented people, multi-talented people that you're
ever going to meet. They're all so nice, and it's not like when I'm talking to them that this situation where we're just put into this band together and we're having to do an album. It's like
we're talking
bullshit, so it's just like we're friends. We're just really comfortable making this album, and it doesn't feel like we just really all met each other, which me and Jeremy didn't just meet each other, but we've never worked together. So it's been a really smooth process this whole time.
That's a cool story though. I mean, as far as, you know, that you've met him a long time ago and kept up with him, and then all of a sudden, you know, hooking you up and helping you out and joining you on this. I mean, this is not like didn't mean it to sound like, you know, he's helping you out. But he's joining you and trust you in doing the project. So
he is. I owe that dude so much thanks. Like that, I have no explanation for all the love and support that Jeremy's shown me, other than he's just a really great guy. So yeah, no. If it wasn't for Jeremy, I don't know what would be going on right now. Just about it's something as simple as him inviting me on stage to play his guitar during the sound check 11 years ago. And now I'm making this really awesome record with him and two other guys. So it's crazy how much something that might seem so insignificant at some point can turn out to be something great later on.
It's all about timing, man. Right place, right time.
Crazy. Wasn't that many people at this gig that Jeremy was playing, which we've all been there before. So, and I actually looked up some of their stuff on YouTube, and this is like 2009, so you can imagine like the cell phone quality recordings I'm watching from gigs and stuff like that. So, I showed up actually like was being familiar with some of their original stuff, and I was like, hey, are you guys going to play this song tonight? And they were kind of surprised that somebody asked if they were going to play one of their original songs, especially being in Oak Ridge and there being like 15, 20 people at this outdoor place.
That's crazy.
That's cool. That's cool, man. It really is. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, it's making that connection, and that's a cool story.
So when are we looking at the album coming out then, you said?
It's going to be this fall. September, October, somewhere around there. We'll let everybody know at the day. This is when it gets when we put the single out. The day the single comes out, that's when we'll release the artwork, the track listing, the album name, and
awesome.
You'll be able to pre-order everything. So once we get closer to August, that's when we'll set the single release date, and that's when you'll get all your good information about it.
Okay, if you want to come back on and pimp that baby, you just let us know.
Yeah, man, for sure.
No, like I said, and I'm looking forward. And like I said, we love, man, I'm going to be 55 on Saturday or Sunday. And it's like, going, I'm still, I love music and I want new music. So give it to me.
It's coming, man. And then, dude, it's not just my biased opinion because I'm in the band. It's, dude, these are good fucking songs. Like, right. I remember getting the first demo back from Todd that he had put some vocals on. And I was just like listening to it, just amazed. And I was just, it got me so motivated for the rest of it. And that was really right when I think we all decided that we were going to do the whole record together. So we were like, this is definitely the way to go at the moment. Cause like I said, I was going to have other people on the record, but once we kind of all four decided to make it, it was kind of like, what's the point after that?
Yeah.
So this will be your destroyer, right? Yeah. You'll base everything off of this.
It'll be his appetite for destruction.
That's true. It could be that too. And either way, it's a good way to tell
those kind of numbers. Then,
yeah. I don't think anybody does those numbers anymore. I don't even know if that's possible.
Even the big people don't make that kind of numbers anymore. I mean, it's just because it's streaming and everything. It's just ridiculous. But
yeah, I think
I'm still buying vinyl, so I put it out
all time. So that'd be fucking tough. Plus, they got a 35-year head start. So
yeah, that's all right. You got to start somewhere.
Hey, live your life. Do it slowly. Don't, because the shit goes by really quick. I was 15 about 3 days ago, and now I'm going to turn 55, and it don't seem like it's been that long. Trust me.
Yeah, my daughter this year, so it's, I understand everything flying by.
Yep. Yeah. No, closer to the end than you are the beginning. I'm sorry, just an observation.
Well, thanks for bringing me down, Bill. I appreciate that. You know,
I'm 1 year behind him. Just wanted to make sure I make it.
But I still, it's that 1 year that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, Brandon, you want to pimp your stuff, buddy, and your websites and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So you can go to BrandonFieldsMusic.com. You can go to Facebook.com/BrandonFieldsMusic. You can go to BrandonFieldsMusic.bandcamp.com. And then I've got official Twitter and Instagram pages you can go find. So pretty easy to keep up with everything. So like I said, August is going to be when the first single comes out, and we'll announce everything. So looking forward to actually letting everybody listen to this stuff.
Cool, man. It's not that far away. We're already in July. It's crazy.
So it's exciting.
All right, man. Well, stick around for just a second. Alan's going to take us out of here. We'll chat for one more time here.
Folks, visit us on agentsofrock.com. Check out our social media links and our past episodes. And until next time, peace out, y'all.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.